Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon.
Sue and recovered Todd, how are you guys?
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Wonderful, Scott. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you guys. Great to have you here. Yeah. Through thick and through thin, and you skated your way in like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Jay and myself and our man over here, he's short one leg, and he was very frightened to come across the ice, and that's what we were doing out there, trying to...
It's good I'm not short too, like
down. You're just short. Anyway, I entitled this, more or less for social media purposes, Codependency and Powerlessness, or Powerless. A reason being that we work the first step of the program when we work the first month of the year. So in January, we're on step one. And we're talking about powerlessness, you know, admitted our powerlessness. And I was looking for ties to codependency, and I figured, well, if anybody could probably tie them in, Todd likely would be able to pull something out of the woodwork there and come across with something. But when you think of those two words, is there anything, I'll ask you first, Todd, because mm-hmm. is there anything that does draw them together in your mind?
When you say codependency and powerlessness?
Yeah.
How to put the two together? Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that, you know, codependency...
Start with that. Give us your version of codependency.
We'll
powerlessness.
See, it's like any addiction, okay? You know, there's a science behind codependency and the chemicals that are released in our brain, you know, that helps personify or perpetuate codependency. Oh, goodness me, that's a complicated thing. And it's there's so many answers to that. Yeah, but what I will say is that...
Well, let me say this. When we're in a codependent state, we'll say,
okay,
or form or something,
mm-hmm.
we are absolutely...
Yes. Oh, absolutely powerless. Well, when you know, yes.
That just came, by the way.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, codependency.
I was praying before we started the show.
When we become, when we become active in our codependency episode,
yeah,
right? I'll just use one term, an episode. There are certain things that happen to us physically.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take that and compare it to a craving for an addiction,
yeah,
right? A chemical, yeah, whether it be drugs or alcohol.
Yeah.
The codependent, active in their addiction, will crave the endorphins that are released in the brain mm-hmm. when they, you know, act upon their codependency.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
give you an example. And I'll use the addict and the codependent together.
Sure.
So the addict craves their crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And they do things, you know, that are questionable, you know, to get that crack cocaine.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, they will manipulate, they will cheat, they will lie, they will harm, mm-hmm. you know, to get it. The codependent will also, you know, they cannot sit without drama.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word, right? We've heard the phrase, you know, oh, you know, Mary Blank, you know,
yeah,
watch her.
Yeah.
You know, she's always up in your business, right? Well, when I take that individual, I look at her as an active codependent. She has to have an amount of drama in her life to feel justified,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. Now, those are the extremes.
Yeah.
Right, you know, you, where I come from, they say, you know, there's no rumor today, but give it 5 minutes and there will be one, or just start one, right?
Yeah.
Start a rumor and get it going. But
is that real?
In some cases, it is. Unfortunately, in some cases, it is. But you know, you get the other extreme to it too. You know, where you have somebody who's always got an opinion, an unsolicited opinion.
Yeah.
On something that has nothing to do with them,
yeah,
right? So you have a loved one or a family member or loved one, whatever, who's struggling with something, and they know their path through it, you know, but you will have the active codependent who will be right there telling them how to do, how to fix it.
Right? They're going to fix it.
Exactly.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
How to fix it, what to do. God forbid you don't follow that codependent's advice, because then we go to the other extreme, right? Imagine if you would a pendulum, right? The pendulum swings in both directions. And the codependent, their pendulum does not stay in the middle. It swings from one extreme to the other.
Go ahead. You're either going to be much more gracious,
yep,
much more kind and caring to you to get that thing changed,
mm-hmm,
because they're feeling uncomfortable inside, or they're going to be a little bit more dominating, a little bit more controlling, mm-hmm, and almost aggressive and angry, mm-hmm, because you are not doing what they want.
Absolutely.
You to do, right?
Absolutely.
So that's why they swing,
yeah,
right?
That's one way of looking at it. I look at it like this. They will be the aggressive person forcing themselves on you,
yeah,
making the other person very uncomfortable,
mm-hmm,
right? Unsafe. They will feel unsafe around this individual. And when that person doesn't follow what the codependent is suggesting, the codependent goes to the other extreme.
Yeah.
Total block. So the codependent cannot differentiate between, I don't need your advice, to, I don't want nothing to do with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the codependent will block them right out.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Well, you won't listen to me, so goodbye.
Yep. Silence. Then again, we've all had either addictive issues or compulsive issues of some kind,
mm-hmm,
behavioral issues. When we're into those things, whatever they are,
uh-huh,
we are in essence operating as codependents ourselves.
Mm. Okay, yeah.
So underlying all addiction, I believe, and mm-hmm, many psychologists do today too, that underlying all addiction is codependency. In other words, there's codependency before addiction, for the simple reason that codependency starts off with the sense that, you know, I don't like that feeling about not being able to control myself. And because I really can't do that, I'm going to reach out and help you and fix your life. I'm, mm-hmm, going to fix your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an escape for me, the codependent, is to get out of myself and get into your realm and mix it up, just as Todd was describing there, until I find that escape I'm using there becomes an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm addicted to fixing you.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're addicted, yeah, to whatever you're addicted to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's no escape for me.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
And more than likely, I'll never get recovery, mm-hmm, and I'll never get help for it. And I won't look for it,
mm-hmm,
unless, thank God, there's enough people who are acting out,
yeah,
you know, in my life, mm-hmm, to force me into a situation, make, mm-hmm, me sick enough to go get help. And that's, mm-hmm, that's where I see the whole codependency, yeah, thing coming together. Go ahead.
It's funny, every time I get on the radio with you, I not that I couldn't relate to codependency, but I couldn't relate to it to the degree that I'm starting to relate to it. Because, mm-hmm, every time you come and you share these little tidbits of information, I kind of reflect on it and I'm like, oh, okay, like I can really relate to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of powerlessness and codependency,
yeah,
you know, for me anyways, like I am powerless over outcomes of things, right? The way the world turns and the way things happen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, you know, I have a really, really good sponsor and she always talks about being uncomfortable with the uncomfortable. And it's in that moment, we were talking about the pendulum swinging, right?
From you say that again?
Okay.
Being
comfortable with the uncomfortable,
yeah,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
you know, things are going on in my life. Okay, I'll give you a prime example. Yesterday was good for me until the end. Certain things unfolded in my life yesterday. The life didn't spin the way I wanted it to yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I had a script in my mind. I was thinking of the big book today that says there's all the ideas and those guiding forces, right?
Uh-huh.
I had these plans in my heads yesterday that did not come to fruition the way I wanted them to. Things did not unfold the way they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't until I got home at last night until I thought, why am I kind of feeling a little bit agitated and pissed off? And it was because when I looked at it, I'm like a big baby sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Where? The, mm-hmm, world, you didn't do what I wanted you to, or this didn't unfold the way I wanted to,
mm-hmm,
therefore, I'm kind of irritated with everybody else around me. But when I look at it, it's because I have these expectations of things don't go my way. Things don't turn out my way. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I am powerless over that. Yeah. And it's just my recognition of that. Yeah. And to be honest, to be quite honest with you, Scott, mm-hmm. it's in being uncomfortable with the fact that things didn't go my way, right? And I have to do, listen, in my life, in recovery, I don't even care if you want to call it recovery or not, but in life, things are going to unfold. And I really, my whole life, I wanted to fix things and change things. I am a fixer and I want to change outcomes. And today, I'm not drinking and drugging. Mm-hmm. The best solution for me was to put a narcotic into my body.
Yeah.
You know, the reason I used narcotics was because they worked, and they worked really quickly, and depending on how I prepared them and used them.
Yeah.
And I got an instantaneous effect when I was feeling uncomfortable about things. I could be in, you know, unhealthy relationships with people.
Yeah.
And people talk to me a certain way that I know is not acceptable, but because I'm uncomfortable with that and I can't change that person, mm-hmm. it's easier to do something else. And drugs work for me for a really long time, but today I'm not using. So what do I do with that, right? And so for me, you know, I have to stay comfortable with the uncomfortable, and it's in that comfortable with the uncomfortable, I grow so much only if I turn to God. Because mm-hmm. my default mechanism is to try to fix it and change it, right?
Exactly.
And I will always do that. And, you know, mm-hmm. usually I try it a bit. I try to change things, and they're just not working. And it's only in the surrender and giving it over to God that I have freedom. And I can be like, okay, I hate to use it. I know we're not supposed to get churchy all up in here, and I do a lot. But, you know, I think of that as it is well with my soul. Mm-hmm. It is well, right? It says in the big book to Matt's Serenity with Calamity.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
No, and you're absolutely right there. And I will throw a couple of words at you, and then we'll take a break. But, you know, being at peace with the anxiety that's in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just hang on to that one a bit, and... I think you may be a master of that.
A what? I may be what? What was this guy? I want to hear that comment.
A master at that. So, Jay, would you do us the honor of taking us out? This is Jay, our production man. We can't do anything without Jay. And glad to
Hi,
have
everybody.
You here.
Happy
Jay.
New Year.
Thank you. Good to see you, Jay.
Welcome to our first Share the Burden of 2019. And I guess we're going to take a break and pay some bills. We'll be back here on Whistle FM.